We've been trying to learn a little bit about what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in this series of messages, you and I have discovered from the book of Acts that the filling of the Holy Ghost is essential for effective ministry. As a matter of fact, it was no doubt the key to what happened in the life of the early church, and that is the souls that were saved and the growth that was experienced and the leaders that were called and the gospel that spread from Jerusalem all over the Roman Empire, ending up even in the city of Rome itself by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts. And weaving through the entire book of Acts is this central theme of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And know that it's true that this book, the book of Acts, is entitled The Acts of the Apostles, but it could probably be more fitly entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God indwelling and operating through these men, and also on occasion the women, that was the key to what happened in the book of Acts. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. We've tried to discover more about that, and that is we've come to the conclusion that the most important issue in the life of churches in America is the issue of what is real salvation, what happens when God saves a sinner, number one. But number two is for those who've been genuinely born again, who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, to be filled, controlled, and dominated by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've discovered that there's a resistance to that. And in Galatians 5, we discovered it's the flesh, our old sinful nature, that resists and fights against the filling of the Holy Spirit. Our old selfish nature wants to be in control of our life. I called it the self-life this past Sunday night, and that is our selfish, sinful nature wants to be in control and resist against the control of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've got to deal with our flesh if we're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We've discovered that there's a reality to it. We're not talking about just theology, but we're talking about in reality experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that is being controlled and dominated by Him. That is, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be dominated by the Holy Spirit like a man who's drunk is dominated by the alcohol that he drank, Ephesians 5:18. And it is to be directed by the Holy Spirit like a person who's walking after and following somebody else and directed by them, walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5. And so being dominated and directed by the Holy Spirit, being controlled by Him, that's the reality of it. And that is, you can know the theology, but if you don't know the reality, then we're never going to experience what they experience in the book of Acts. Being controlled from the inside out by the indwelling Holy Spirit, our mind dominated by the Holy Spirit, our emotions dominated by the Holy Spirit, our will or decisions dominated by the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So for the past number of services, we've been trying to discover something about the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And as we've talked about the resistance against it, dealing with our flesh, and we've spent some time talking about the reality, how to experience the reality of the filling of the Holy Spirit, but we've been dealing with the results. What would happen? What are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit? And over the past several services, I've said to you that one of the results is indeed godly fruit. And that is, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We spent some time talking about what it is the Spirit of God produces, like a tree produces fruit, while the Spirit of God produces in our life what He strives to produce in our life as you and I yield to Him and allow Him to fill and dominate our lives. Let me remind you the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit before I move on tonight. And that is, the Spirit of God wants to produce this in our life, and that is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are the things that the Spirit of God is striving to develop on the inside of us. The fruit of the Spirit. I've just said to you, it's godly fruit. Now I'm going to move on tonight and just discover a few other things that the Spirit of God wants to develop on the inside of us as we allow Him to fill and control our life from the inside out. Not only is there godly fruit, but there's also blessed assurance. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 16 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Romans 8 is all about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse number 16, back up to verse number 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Those who are the children of God are characterized by the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And here's an explanation. "For or because you have not received the spirit of bondage," again to fear, that is the law, But you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that is when God saved you, the Spirit of God, the divine life, came to live on the inside of you. And the Spirit of God who came to live on the inside of you connected your heart to heaven. That's what it means there when the Bible says there the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, has crying out on the inside of us, Abba, Father. And Paul confirms that as well. In another area, that is in the book of Galatians in chapter number 4 as well, the Spirit of God is living in us, crying, Abba, Father. That little phrase there, Abba, Father, is a very personal phrase that a child would use whenever they're crying out to their father or for their father or in some cases for their mother. And it's a very affectionate term that's used of a child that loves its parent. And the Bible just says here that you and I have been adopted, that is, we've received the Spirit of adoption. When God saved us, He accepted us as His child. He adopted those who weren't His children, and now we are, thus adoption. And we weren't His children, but now we are His children. He adopted us into His family. And listen, those who are adopted into His family, He has placed the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit of adoption, that is, the Spirit of God living in us, and He is crying, Abba, Father. And again, that's a personal phrase, which means that there's somebody now living in my heart, on the inside of me, that loves the Father. Hey, it's not me, it's Him. And that is, before I got saved, I didn't love God. Now, I know that there are some folks who think they've loved God all of their life, but they're terribly deceived about the nature of their sin. And that is, before we got saved, we didn't love God. We were at enmity against God. We may have respected God to some level if we were taught anything at all. But listen to me now. It wasn't until the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us that we began to love God. Because the lover of God is now living on the inside of us. And it's not our flesh that we were living out of before we were converted. Our flesh does not love God. Our flesh loves sin and selfishness. But when you got saved, the lover of God came to live on the inside of you, and now somebody's in you crying out, Abba, Father, and that is, I love the Father. Just like a little child loves their daddy and or loves their mommy, even so somebody on the inside of us loves God, and it is the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father. And that's the reason why the next verse says this. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is, God accepted us as His children, adoption, and He put His Spirit on the inside of us and thus crying, Abba, Father. And for that reason, because of the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, those who are the children of God, ladies and gentlemen, we have the witness on the inside of us that we are His children. It's His Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, and the reason why is because there are a lot of people running around thinking they're saved but don't have any assurance that they are. And that is, in their mind, they're trying to, in their mind, reason it out. And that is, I must be saved, and the reason why I must be saved is because of all the things that I did or all the things that I felt. And that is that I, you know, I have done many wonderful works and by the way, even walked down the aisle and by the way, even shook the preacher's hand and by the way, even signed the little card and they put me in the baptistry, even said that I believed that Jesus is the Son of God. I did all of those things. I must be saved because I did this, and I did this. It almost sounds like salvation by works. But we know it can't be, and the reason why is because you can't be saved by works. And yet there are those that are trying to prop up on their works and say, I must be saved, and the reason why I must be is because of everything that I did. I did this, I prayed this, and I confessed this, and so I must be saved because of what I did. And trying to prop up on that in our mind. Trying to think I must be saved because of all of this. The problem with that is that many of those folks can't get their heart to agree with their minds. And there's this disconnect between the mind and the heart. And that is, they get themselves convinced mentally that I must be saved, but they can't never get any real assurance. And every once in a while, their heart stirs up on the inside of them. And it might be during a message. It might be during a song service. It might be during a special service. It might just be God dealing with them. But all of a sudden, their heart stirred on the inside of them. And even though they've tried to convince themselves mentally, they find themselves miserable on the inside and doubting. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And there's just this up and down going on all across this country. There's this up and down going on in people's hearts. And that is saying, I must be saved because I did all of this. And then they're back down thinking, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And then they convince themselves and they're back up again. And then before long, they're back down again thinking, I don't know if I am or if I'm not. And there's just up and down that goes on. Listen to me now. The only way that up and down will ever get settled is when your heart finally agrees with your head. When there's finally somebody living in your heart that's crying, Abba, Father. Not just your head trying to figure it out how I must be saved, but it's your heart settled in the fact that you are. It's your heart settled because the Spirit of God now lives in you and He's crying out, Abba, Father. Listen, your heart connected to heaven, connected to Him. Because of the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Listen to me now. One of the great results of being indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit is blessed assurance. Assurance that you know that you're saved. Not an up and down kind of know where you know a little while and then you don't know and then you know and then you don't know. But I'm talking about a settled assurance on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, that just kind of sticks with you. And even when your mind gets a little whacked out a little bit, you still got that assurance on the inside of your heart. Even when you think, you know what, I don't know what's going on with me or where I'm at spiritually, you get to thinking about when God saved you and your heart rises up on the inside and you know that you know. You got that peace and you got that assurance that you know you're saved. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I remember the great struggle that I had when God called me to preach, and it was a struggle. And God was dealing with my heart so strongly. One of these days, I'll share more of that story, but let me just say to you that God was dealing with me so strongly. It started on Easter Sunday morning. Now, Easter Sunday in most churches is a little busy and a little packed and a lot of things going on and everybody's all dressed up. And that Easter Sunday, there I was at 15 years old sitting in the pew at that little church. And I mean, God sat on top of me. And listen, I was under such conviction and God was dealing with me so strongly and so heavy. I didn't know what was going on. The only thing I ever felt like that before was when I was lost. When I was under conviction about my lostness and I got through the service, and after the service was over, I got so miserable that Sunday afternoon that I finally went to my parents and said, I need to talk to somebody or something. Something's got to give. I need help. And she took me to my dad took me to the pastor's house, and we sat down and we began to talk. And as we were talking, he just asked me, well, tell me about when you got saved. And so I started telling him about when I got saved. And the longer I talked about when I got saved, the more assurance I had in my heart. And I knew that I was. Had that peace on the inside. But there was something going on, ladies and gentlemen. God was getting my attention. And by the way, He kept getting my attention. Dealing with me on the inside, disturbing my soul in such a way that I knew He was trying to speak to me. Listen to me now. In those days, as a 15-year-old, if you would have went to the little church where I went, every service you'd have seen me down there in the altar crying out to God, God, show me what it is you're speaking to me about. And that is, He had my attention. He was dealing with my heart. But listen to me now, even though there was all this confusion swirling around me and at times causing me to wonder what in the world is going on with me, am I even saved or am I lost? I could always go back to my conversion experience. And as I began to think about it and pray about it and talk about it, I had somebody on the inside of me that stood up on the inside with great assurance crying, Abba, Father. No matter what's going on around you, that is, it might not be a call to preach, it might just be difficult circumstances, it might be the trials of life, it might be just the difficulties of life, it might be health issues and financial issues and troubles in your life and a swirling around that brings all kinds of confusion and all kinds of emotions in your life. Listen, it's possible for a Christian to get discouraged. It's possible for a believer, ladies and gentlemen, to get depressed. It's possible for you and I, as we look at the circumstances around us, to begin to sink in those circumstances like Peter was sinking in the water, so we just begin to cry out to God. Yes, it is. Circumstances around us can cause that. But I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, for those who've been born again, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how difficult they become, no matter how discouraged you might be, there's something on the inside in your heart that gives you assurance, that is, that you know that you've been redeemed. And when you peel back the layers of discouragement, when you peel back the circumstances in your life and get right down to the heart of hearts, everything is okay. Because of the Spirit of God living on the inside. Crying, Abba, Father. John writes about it in 1 John chapter number 3. Let me read you a couple verses about this blessed assurance that we have. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, here's what he said. He that keepeth these commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. One of the things that characterizes those who've been born again is their desire to obey God. And none of us obey him perfectly, but what we sure do want to. And then this comment at the end of verse number 24 of 1 John chapter number 3, the Bible says, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. Here's how we know: by his Spirit, which he hath given us. How do I know that he's living on the inside of me? How do I know that I'm connected to him, that I have this connection with God, this relationship with God? I tell you the reason why is because of the Spirit of God who's living on the inside of us. 1 John 3, 24, we see it again in chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. How we know? How do I know that I'm in him and he is in me? Because he has given us of his Spirit. The Bible tells us there, 1 John 4 and verse number 13. It is the indwelling of the Spirit of God living on the inside of us that provides this blessed assurance, ladies and gentlemen, that we desperately need in our lives. Trying to describe to you the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost. If the Spirit of God fills me, he not only wants to produce this godly fruit that Paul wrote about in Galatians 5, but also blessed assurance in my life. Filled with the Holy Ghost, blessed assurance. That's the reason why that when you get around somebody who is filled with the Spirit of God, they might appear to be happy about being saved. Now, the reason why they may appear to be happy about being saved is because the Spirit of God who's dominating their life from the inside out is crying, Abba, Father. They might look like a little child who sees their daddy walk in the room. Don't you remember? I remember when I was growing up, and that is, I loved my dad. Father's Day is coming real soon, and I think about my dad. I remember my dad. He's been gone for a lot of years now, but I remember him, and I loved him. I adored him. I idolized him when I was growing up. And as I wanted to look like my dad, I wanted to be like my dad, I wanted to do the same job that my dad did, I wanted to be an elevator man. When I say an elevator man, I'm not talking about the elevator that goes up and down, but I'm talking about the elevator where grain is stored and loaded onto barges. I wanted to be just like my dad. My dad wore a red Kent feet hat, and so I had to have a red Kent feet hat. And my dad wore bib overalls at times, and so I had to have a pair myself. And I wanted to look like him and act like him and be like him. And I loved and adored my dad. And I remember growing up that my dad would get home about the same time, unless it was harvest time, he would get home about the same time every evening, about 5:45 he would get home. He had about a 45-minute drive whenever he came home from work, and he would come around the corner and pull in the driveway. And as soon as we saw him, me and my siblings, and walking in the door, we would run to my dad. Now, there was a couple of reasons why we ran to my dad. The first reason why is because we loved him and we were glad that he was home. The second reason why is because sometimes he had bubble gum in his lunchbox. And that is, one of the men that he worked under, that is, one of the foremen there at the elevator, sometimes would put a handful of bubble gum in his lunchbox for us kids. And so first thing we would do is search that lunchbox and see if there was any bubble gum in there. Now, that's not a big deal to a lot of kids today, but it was to these kids. And the reason why is because we didn't get that kind of stuff. It was a real treat to be able to get a piece of bubble gum and chew on it. And so we look forward to that. But I remember being so excited when Dad finally got home. And ladies and gentlemen, you might think about that too. I've seen little children around here, that is around here at Eastern Gate, especially the little ones, and I've watched them whenever their dad walks in the room and watch them run to their dad, or as the case may be, run to their mother. Well, I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You're just happy about your father. You know the reason why? Because you're his child. And not only have you been adopted as his child, but he placed his Spirit on the inside of you, connecting your heart to his. And so when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, they're happy about their father. They're happy about being saved. They're happy about being a part of his family. They're just delighted in him. It's blessed assurance that I know who my Father is, and I know that he knows who I am. I know that he loves me. I know that he's forgiven me. I know that he's adopted me. I know that I have a right standing with him. Oh, listen, it's just wonderful assurance that all of that that the Bible says about who our Father is and our relationship with him is absolutely true. You say, Pastor, how do you know that what all that is? You know all of that is true. How do you know that your sin's been forgiven? Because he's living on the inside of me, and there is not only the Word of God in front of me, and listen to me now, there's not only the people of God around me, but there's the Spirit of God living on the inside of me and on the inside of you if you've been saved. Now listen, that'll fill you with assurance. When you get to reading the Bible about what it means to be saved, you say, well, how do you know it's true? Well, the Spirit of God living on the inside of me just bears witness to the truth of it. When I get to hearing somebody teach or somebody preach and I know that it's the truth, somebody on the inside of me just sort of bears witness to the truth, and I'm able to rejoice and rest in that truth. It's the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, just producing that wonderful, blessed assurance. I'm so glad we have this book, aren't you? The Bible. But I tell you that I'm also glad that the author of the book took up residence on the inside of me, so that he not only enables me and helps me to understand what this book means, but it gives me great assurance as to the truth that's being communicated by this book. Whether I'm reading it, whether I'm hearing it taught or preached, studying it myself, the Spirit of God just given us that wonderful, blessed assurance that what this book says is true about me. You can have that kind of assurance when the Spirit of God is filling and dominating your life. Well, the reasons why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost is not only so that we can have godly fruit, but also so that we can have blessed assurance. Now I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this blessed assurance is a powerful, powerful witness. It's a powerful witness. And that is one of the things that the world is looking at, that the lost are looking at, not only those out in the world, but also those who attend our church. One of the things that those that are lost look at, one of the things that pricks their heart, one of the things that grips them on the inside, is when they see believers filled with the Holy Ghost who have wonderful and blessed assurance on the inside of their hearts. Those who know that they're saved and they're happy about their Father and happy about the relationship with him. Like a little child that's running to their father, they cannot wait to jump in the arms of their father. Listen, like a little child who loves the Father, we love this wonderful book that the Father has provided for us through the Spirit. That is, we love his Word. We love it because of the assurance that we have on the inside. We love being around the Father. We love being around the Father's family, that is the people of God in the house of God. And listen, it is a powerful witness to those who are lost. That is when they see Christians, believers, who have wonderful assurance, blessed assurance from the inside out. You and I live in a world that's full of pessimism. And there's a world that feeds on negative thoughts. A world that is angry and depressed and discouraged. Now you know this, don't you? And the reason why is because you experienced this And also because you witness this around you. And that is that we are an angry people. When I say that we're angry, I mean that we often are looking for something to be mad about. You may find yourself in that very condition, and that is that if you're not mad about something, you're trying to look for something to be mad about. Something to be upset about, something to be a victim about. You want to be a victim of something, right? Or be mad about something or upset about something. And it seems to draw a lot of attention to you whenever you do. But I tell you what it is our old rotten flesh that loves that. It is our old sinful, selfish nature that loves to be mad at somebody or something about something. When something goes wrong, what's our first fleshly instinct? Get mad about it. And when somebody does something that we don't particularly didn't want them to do, what's our first thing to do? We get mad at them about it. That's just our natural, normal, fleshly response. And we often find ourselves just looking for somebody to be angry about. And that's the way the world operates. The world around you is an angry world, mad and angry about something. And we've come to the conclusion that everybody around us is always going to be mad about something. But when you get around somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, they're just not mad, they're happy. And the reason why is because they got this wonderful assurance on the inside. This blessed assurance filling them from the inside out, and they love God, and they love the things of God, and they love the people of God. And listen to me, when you get around them, you just sense that they have a real positive attitude, but it's more than that. It is wonderful assurance filling them from the inside out, great peace filling them from the inside out, great joy filling them from the inside out. And listen, the lost world sees that, and they think, boy, I wish I had a little bit of that once in a while. Matter of fact, they might come up to you and say something like this: what doctor do you go to? What counselor do you see? And you might just give them this answer, and that is, I've been talking to Dr. Jesus, and I've been going to the great counselor, the Holy Ghost, for a long time. Matter of fact, he lives in my house. He is with me every place I go. He lives right on the inside of my heart. The great comforter lives on the inside of me. The Holy Ghost, the one who is my helper, lives on the inside of me. And I'm happy as I can be because of this wonderful assurance that I have. I know I'm saved. I know heaven's my home. My sin's been forgiven. I got this relationship with God. I love His Word, love His people, love the things of God. Listen, that has a powerful witness in the lives of those who are lost, when they see those who have blessed assurance. Know they're saved. It has a powerful witness. Let me just say this. It is also a powerful witness to those who are religious but lost. When they see folks who are genuinely born again, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who have blessed assurance, that know that they know that they're saved and are happy about their Father, crying, Abba, Father. There are a lot of people that are attending churches all across this country that have never been born again. I've said to you multiple times, that's the reason why that understanding the true nature of conversion is the most important thing in the life of church. And the reason why is because there are those who've walked the aisles after being scared to death by somebody, walked an aisle and made a profession of faith, and have never been born again, never been convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin, never brought to a point of brokenness over their sin, never brought to the point of believing or resting or trusting in Christ and His finished work alone on the cross, have never been brought to that point in their life, and they're the ones, they're just up and down in this struggle with doubt and lack of assurance all the time. They convince themselves, they go to the pastor, and the pastor convinces them they must be saved, and the reason why is because of what they did. They prayed a prayer, or they made a profession, or they made a confession, so they must be saved because of what they did, and the deception continues, and the roller coaster continues. And they just don't have any assurance. They convince themselves mentally, but no assurance in their hearts. And then along comes somebody who's been born of the Spirit, born again. And the Spirit of God is living on the inside of them. And they're learning how to walk in the Spirit, to be dominated by the Holy Spirit, so that they are filled with assurance. And when that religious lost person gets around somebody that's full of real Holy Ghost assurance, it exposes the phony stuff that they've been leaning on and trusting in, and even oftentimes sweeps it away and leaves them naked before God, so to speak, with nothing to hold on to. Just lost. And that's important in this day, folks, to see that. Listen, if you've been born again and you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, He wants to dominate your life from the inside out so that you not only have a little bit of assurance, but you're filled with blessed assurance. And your witness to the lost world, especially those who have been deceived by various religious groups and preachers and movements, so they can finally see what it looks like to be born again, to have real assurance, to know that you know, that you know Him. Blessed assurance. It's so important. Let me mention another thing. Are y'all still okay? I thought you were. And that is, here's what happens, a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost. There not only is godly fruit, Galatians 5, there not only is blessed assurance, Romans 8, 16, but there's also spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. When the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you're going to grow. And you're going to grow spiritually. And we learn more about that, for example, in John chapter number 14, where the Lord is speaking to His disciples about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as He's writing about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit, He talks about the growth that the Holy Spirit is going to produce in their lives when He comes to them. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, here's what He's going to do. He's going to teach you all things. And He's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Talking about the apostles of our Lord, and that as He's telling them, the Spirit of God is going to come, He's going to do two things and a third thing later on. One of the things He's going to do is that the Spirit of God is going to remind you of all the things that I have been saying to you. And that as our Lord has been teaching them, He's been teaching them truth, He's been teaching them all through the ministry that they've been involved in. And now here they are in the upper room, and our Lord is teaching them truth after truth after truth. And the Bible says here that when the Spirit of God is coming, He's going to remind you of all of these things that I've been saying to you, that I've been teaching to you. And that's the reason why, by the way, that we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that record for us what it is that Jesus said, is because the Spirit of God moved upon the authors of Scripture and enabled them to remember what it was that Jesus said. And indeed they did. Not only that, but also now He's going to remind them of whatever Jesus has already said, but He's also going to teach them of the rest. He's going to teach them all things. When the Spirit of God is coming, He's going to teach you all things. That's what He does. When He's living on the inside of you, abiding on the inside of you, you've got the great teacher abiding in your heart. And He's going to teach you. And that means you're going to grow. You're going to grow. You're going to grow in knowledge. You're going to grow in your walk with God. He's going to teach you everything that you need to know, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. We see that again in John chapter number 16. Listen to what it says. It says in verse number 12. Verse number 12, it says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus said, I got a lot of other stuff I need to reveal to you, but I can't tell you yet. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come, that is, even those things that are yet to come. He'll reveal them as well. He'll glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, and He'll, therefore said I, that He will take of Mine, and He'll show it unto you. Jesus said, the Father's given everything to Me, and the Spirit of God's going to reveal all of that to you. And He's going to show you all of that. There's the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you what you're not, what I'm not able to reveal to you right now. There are things that you need to know that I can't tell you right now, but when the Spirit of God comes, He's going to reveal all, He's going to take all of that and reveal it to you. The divine revelation of the Spirit of God is going to take place. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what has been happening ever since the Spirit of God came to indwell believers. He's been teaching us, He's been revealing the truth of the Word of God to us, and much of that is contained right here in our Bible. The divine revelation that ended up being this book called the Bible. We not only have the written word, but we have the author of that word living on the inside of us, teaching us and growing us in the word. Paul writes about this same revelatory work of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Listen to what he writes. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Quoting from the Old Testament, there's this passage that talks about the fact that, listen, we've never seen, we haven't heard with our ears all the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And we often quote that passage, and listen, I have to admit to you that we often quote that passage to excuse our ignorance. I don't know what's going to happen. Eye has not seen, ear heard. Nobody knows what all God has prepared for them that love Him. We often quote this passage to excuse our ignorance. And we stop before we get to verse 10. Here's what it continues to say. But even though it's true, the Old Testament said that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us. God has revealed that stuff to us. You say, how did He do it? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God, for what man knoweth. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Listen, the Bible tells us here, the Spirit of God knows everything about God and knows everything about spiritual things. The Spirit of God knows everything. The Spirit of God knows everything, like the Father knows everything and like the Son knows everything. And He's the one living on the inside of you that wants to reveal those things that you don't already know. Sure He does. You say, I want to know more about God, but how am I going to know more about God? Well, you've got God, the Spirit, living in you that wants to reveal God to you. You say, I'd like to know more about Jesus. Well, the one who knows Jesus lives on the inside of you. You say, I'd like to know more about what this book means. Well, the one who wrote this book is living on the inside of you. You say, I'd like to know more about what's going to happen in the future. Well, the one who knows the future is living on the inside of you, and He wants to teach you. He wants to reveal those things to you. Verse number 12 says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Listen to this, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Spirit of God wants to reveal to you what God has provided for you. Well, it's true, the Old Testament says that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody living in you that wants to reveal all of that to you, all that God has for you. And it's the Spirit of God abiding on the inside of you. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak. Paul says, these things that God is revealing are the things that we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You say, well, how am I going to know what the Spirit of God is saying? Paul said, I'm trying to tell you. The Spirit of God has revealed all of this that I'm revealing to you. And I'm glad He wrote it down for us, because we have it right here in this book, the Bible. And the Spirit of God revealing to us the great truths that we would not know. Not only written down in the Bible, but the author of the book living on the inside of us so that we can learn and be taught. But the Bible says in 1 John 2:27, listen to what it says. 1 John 2:27, you remember this verse, I read it a few weeks ago. It says, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, the Spirit of God, is that anointing. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, but even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. The anointing of God, the Spirit of God lives, the one whose truth lives, the Spirit of truth lives on the inside of you, teaching you and growing you. Listen, when the Spirit of God is filling a person's life, there's not only going to be godly fruit, Galatians 5, not only is there going to be confident assurance, Romans 8, 16, but there's going to be spiritual growth. You're going to grow. not only grow in understanding, but in your experience of God. In your understanding of the Word of God, and also in your experience of that very truth in your life. Experiencing God, experiencing the truth of God as a reality in your life. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to try to fill our heads with knowledge, but lack the experience in our life. The Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us not only wants us to experience theological knowledge, but ladies and gentlemen, He wants us to, in the same way, at the same time, experience the reality of that truth, the experience of that truth in our life. The one who's living on the inside of us, revealing truth to us so we can understand it, but also so that we can experience it. We'll say it again. Not just so we can understand it, although that's vital. As a matter of fact, every church needs men and women as well who understand the Word of God, that is, understand the truth of the Word of God. They've got it locked in their minds. They understand systematic theology. They understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God. They understand the truth of God and how it fits together and comes together. And that's essential for the church in this day of false teaching. It is essential. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It is not simply understanding theological concepts and systematic theology, but it's the experience of that truth in our life that the Spirit of God also is trying to work on the inside of us so that we can grow not only in knowledge, but also in experience, experiencing that truth. If you allow the Spirit of God to fill your life, that's what's going to happen. You're going to grow in knowledge and experience with God. And isn't that what we want? Yes, to grow. Don't you love watching little kids around? I love being in the building. Some of you probably sitting over here on Wednesday night and say, "Where's the preacher at?" And I'm over there with people my own age. And the reason why is I love watching them. I love watching the kids, and I'm over there with them and usually in the gym most of the time just watching them. They're playing basketball and they're running around. And there's, you know, teenage boys that are 6 foot something, almost 7 feet tall out there playing basketball. And then there's these little bitty short kids about 2 years old that are running around thinking they're just as big as the big kids. It's hilarious, it's enjoyable, it's wonderful to be able to watch them and watch them be able to grow. Some of them were just little bitty kids not too long ago, and now they're great big kids. Some of them are adults that are leading the ministries, and it's their kids are the ones out there running around. That is, some of them who were little bitty kids when I first came here are the ones leading those ministries. You know what I'm talking about. It's wonderful to see folks grow. It is to me. It's a blessing to watch little kids grow up. And do you know what's wonderful? When the father sees his kids growing. Now, the father I'm talking about is not this one. I feel like a lot of those kids over there are just my bonus kids. Even though they may not be biological, they're bonus kids. And that is, I love them like my own kids, and I've watched them grow up. Most of them, I was there when they were born or shortly thereafter, and I've watched them, at least a lot of them. They're like my own. I love them like my own. But nevertheless, it's a blessing to me to watch them grow up. But the Father that I'm talking about is not me. It's our Father who delights in seeing us grow. And I found out that what makes kids grow is all you got to do is just feed them. If you feed them good, they grow good. Now, you just got to put the right stuff in them and they grow. You have to do much else. Just put the right stuff on the inside of them and they grow. Now, listen to me. I'm about done. You have a Father who put the right stuff in you when He made you His child so you could grow. You know what He put in you, don't you? His blessed Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you so you can grow in wisdom, understanding, and experience with God. That's the result of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Godly fruit, blessed assurance, and spiritual growth. Now, I'm not done, but I'll stop. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you've been saying to us and working in us. And God, I pray that you'll speak loudly to our hearts, that you'll challenge us, Father, that you'll help us to see what your priority is for us, and that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.